Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
These are the times that try men's souls. With such words, Thomas Paine described the situation on December 23rd, 1776, when those who were anything but sunshine patriots were fighting for the independence that they had declared not even 6 months earlier. Well, what described the political situation then could also describe the situation now. Well, it may be overstating it a little bit that our souls are being tried by these times, but certainly our patience is tried by these times. We are over 16 months away from a presidential election, and we've already had months upon months of electioneering. Furthermore, already the pundits are talking about the fact that there is voter fatigue going on because of everything that's happened, and we haven't even had a single primary yet. Voter fatigue. These are the times that try our patience. And it's not just all the political rhetoric, it's all the posturing that goes on. A politician says something that ruffles somebody's feathers, so what do? Well, they spin and backpedal and say, well, you really just didn't understand what I said. That's not what I really meant. And then we get a long, drawn-out explanation. Gone are the days of Andrew Jackson, who said, one man with courage is a majority. Now it's one politician with spin is electable. How about somebody stand up and just say, okay, I said what I said, and I can't take it back. And furthermore, even if I could take it back, I wouldn't because I meant it. Or how about somebody just have the medal of Pontius Pilate and simply say, what I have written, I have written. No apologies, my words will not be undone. In postmodern America, it isn't just politicians who are put back on their heels. In a society where one of the greatest offenses that can be done is for you to offend somebody by what you say, many expect God to be put back on his heels. And therefore, the man of God, the pastor, is expected to be put back on his heels as well. Who do you think you are anyway? Telling me that what I'm doing with my life is somehow wrong. Who allows you to say such things, Pastor? Now, as the people of God, we remind ourselves that when we speak the Lord's word, we have nothing to be ashamed of. We do not need to be set back upon our heels. Yes, there is a clear difference between contending for the faith and being contentious. On one hand, there we can be the ones driving the wedge in there of our own sinful choices. And the other times, it is simply fidelity and faithfulness to God's word that causes the division. Those are two very different things. But when the situation arises that being a faithful proclaimer of God's word causes a division, then temptation comes into the mix. Because you recall the time when those who are now decrying you were once singing your praises. And oh, how you enjoyed those days. And now the choice is before you. Do we follow the allure of the praise of men, or do we walk the path that at times seems so incredibly lonely, the path of faithfully proclaiming God's word? Now, this past Sunday, we heard about one of our forefathers who faced that choice. There is the prophet of the Lord, Nathan, standing before King David. David's sin is clear-cut, and it is obvious. He has committed lust, adultery, deception, and murder. But it is no small thing to stand up to the face of the Lord's anointed. It is no small thing to go before King David and bring God's righteous condemnation to bear upon him. But Nathan delivers what the Lord has given to him. He delivers the word of the Lord. The story of the rich man with an abundance of cattle and sheep, who, when he has a guest, goes out and takes the one little ewe lamb of the poor man, would have immediately grabbed King David's attention. David, the shepherd-turned-king, knew what it was to care for sheep, to love them dearly. And so when he hears about this man, he proclaims righteous judgment against the rich man who steals the poor man's lamb. He says, surely that man deserves to die. And then the Lord has David exactly where he wants him. Nathan bluntly replies to David, Ata ha'ish. David, you the man. David does not. He cannot argue. David knows that the Lord's righteous condemnation gives him absolutely no wiggle room. And it's the same with you and me as well. David knows that the Lord's righteous condemnation gives no wiggle room, and we get no wiggle room either. No spin can explain away words spoken in anger. No backpedaling will erase actions driven by sinful lust. When you the man, there is no escape. That was clearly seen 1,000 years later. When a Roman governor parades one who has been accused of high crimes before the people. The man has been bloodied by scourging. He's on the way to the cross. And there he is introduced by Pilate with words firm, certain, and sure. Idu ha anthropos. Behold the man. And there is Christ turning everything on its head. There is no wiggle room for Christ as he is the one subjected to the Father's judgment. He takes the full blow of God's righteous condemnation as he stands in our place. He takes the consequences of our sinful choices. We receive the blessed joy of the results of his perfect obedience. And that we might not doubt it, 3 days later, he rises from the dead. And just as he had sent Nathan, not only to confront David in his sin, but then also to deliver the Lord's forgiveness. As David tells Nathan, the Lord has taken away your sin, so also the resurrected Christ appears to his disciples and makes them to be his apostles, saying, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. Those are the words of the Lord. Those are words spoken with even more conviction to the penitent than the Lord's condemnation is spoken to the sinner. The words of absolution come with words certain and words that are sure. The words of the crucified and resurrected Christ. No apologies. What Christ has said, he has said. What he has forgiven, he has forgiven. Amen.